Earth and Sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Jorge Salazar.
And I'm Deborah Bird. The world's largest atom smasher is scheduled to begin its operations in late 2007. It's called the Large Hadron Collider, and it's designed to recreate energies similar to those just nanoseconds after the Big Bang.
The collider will accelerate subatomic particles to near light speed around a 17-mile circular track, and using a magnet weighing 2,000 tons, about as heavy as 5 jumbo jets.
The experiment will be run by CERN, the European Organization for Nuclear Research, in Switzerland. Among other things, CERN scientists hope to find an as yet unseen particle called the Higgs boson, nicknamed the God particle.
This God particle is thought to be responsible for the physical property of mass in the universe. I spoke with CERN scientists Philip Bryant and Albert Deroque at the 2007 meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Dr. Deroque, one of the things that has kind of resonated with the public has been interest in what is called the Higgs boson, what is popularly called the God particle. Are you looking for it with the Large Hadron Collider? And also, how will you know that you found it?
So definitely the Higgs boson is one of the main missions of the Large Hadron Collider and the experiments there, to find that and to finally find it, I should say, because it's a particle which has been postulated already over 40 years ago, and it's an essential ingredient in our understanding of the theories right now. And we have very good theory, which is called the Standard Model, which describes basically all we see to date. But it assumes that such a particle or such a mechanism exists. Now, we haven't found any experimental evidence for that yet. And in fact, the Higgs particle, which is coming into that theory, is a very bizarre particle. It's a very unusual particle than what we are sort of used to deal with today. The way it interacts with the other particles is a very unusual way. And through that interaction, it gives mass to the particles. And that's why we are so interested in it. Now, we know that if it exists, it can exist within a certain range of its mass, of its value of mass, but that's a very wide range. And it has been narrowed down quite a bit by precision experiments which have been done in the last year. So now we have a real focused region to look for it, but still it's a very wide region. And we have developed over the last 10 years, when we were first designing these experiments, methods to actually find this particle when it is produced into the normal collision, so to say. So we're very confident that we can actually can do that by looking at specific signatures which we're going to see in the detector, which are a characteristic for this Higgs boson.
These specific signatures, could you describe what would it look like?
Well, in particle physics, as with many things which are produced in particle physics, they live so shortly that they actually don't travel distance. They decay in different particles, which are the long-living particles, like we know, like the electrons and the protons, for example, at the moment that they are created. And we look for traces. We infer the existence of such type of particle by looking at the traces of particles which live long, which we see going through our detectors. For the Higgs case, for example, this is a very specific ways in which this particle will actually stop living and decay in known particles. It can be just in light, in photons, and it can be just in particles like electrons, which we know, for example, from atoms. And they come out with specific energies. And we measure, we identify these particles, electrons, photons, and look for those with the specific energies. And from that, we can infer that, in fact, a Higgs has been produced and has decayed in our detector.
Thank you very much. Dr. Bryant, I would like to ask about these efforts. The Large Hadron Collider is scheduled to start operating later this year. There has been a history in the United States with Fermilab and recently with Stanford to advance these high-energy physics. Recently, Linear Collider was announced, these plans to build this in Asia. Who is stepping into this picture? And there have been reports that describe these efforts as a race. And earlier today, during the press conference, these efforts were described as a global design effort. How would you characterize it?
We are very fortunate in particle physics and in accelerators in that we publish all of our work. So each group can benefit from the findings and the work and the technology and the R&D done by other groups. If you look at the LHC, for example, you'll probably find on a letter heading or on a report face a cross-section of the dipole. For example, that dipole has two beam holes in it. That design, that idea, that concept was in fact first proposed by an American, John Blewett, from Brookhaven Lab. But that magnet is not exactly the type of magnet that he proposed. That magnet is now operating at 1.8, 1.9 Kelvin. Now, that is a development that was pioneered by Europe with the Tor Supra project. You find aspects coming from all parts of the community in the design. So LHC is a composite of ideas and developments made by many groups and many people. Now, you mentioned Asia, you mentioned China as well. Accelerator communities are growing up in all of these countries rapidly. India especially is making great advances at the moment, and in 25 years you're liable to find that India will be one of the major accelerator communities in the world if they continue in the present way. We welcome them to the club, and we hope that we will all be able to collaborate and benefit from each other's developments.
Could you maybe boil down for us what would be the low-hanging fruit here as far as scientific discovery of something that could really make a difference?
Well, I assume here that the physics aspects you're leaving to my colleague, and you're talking more about technological spin-off when you place this question. Is that true?
I almost hate to ask you what the effects are of what you will do, but if you would like to address that, please do.
Well, it's difficult, of course, because very often it takes 25, 30, 40, 50 years for ideas to come to fruition and appear in the general life. But maybe one can hazard a few guesses. Look at LHC and look at the fact that it's being cooled by superfluid helium at 1.8 Kelvin, 1.9 Kelvin. I'm sure there will be spin-off from this, the experience gained. This is the biggest superfluid installation ever. This is bound to lead to some advances. We have to get a lot of power, electrical power, from room temperature down into the coils that are sitting at 1.8 Kelvin. Now, the way of getting that power in is through current leads, for example. There are several types of designs in the LHC, and one of those designs is a high-temperature superconductor design. I can well imagine there are certain novelties in that design. I can well imagine that you will find those high-temperature superconductor leads may be appearing in other applications. The superconducting bus bars that carry the power around the machine also have some novel aspects, and there have been discussions about using these things elsewhere. We cannot really tell at this stage what the spin-offs will be. But in the past, there have always been spin-offs, and I'm sure there will be in the future.
Dr. DeRocq, is there anything else that you'd like to share with the listeners today?
Well, we would like to stress and make the listeners realize that the machine and the experiments by itself are of a scale and complexity as never seen before. That by itself is pushing things to the limit at all the fronts, at the computing and so forth, as what we heard in the press conference today. Now, what we're hunting for is, of course, fundamental knowledge to try to understand what the universe is made of, where we come from, what our place is in the universe. Now, one of the options which has been discussed is that we may be producing dark matter for the first time in the lab. We actually do not know what exactly dark matter is, but we may find out through these experiments. And then what to do with it? Well, I don't know at the moment what application dark matter could have for daily life, but maybe in 50 years it will be so obvious that there is one, then we will see. But these things will need to evolve. First, we have to understand what we actually are going to discover, and as I said, try to get answers to these fundamental questions. The purpose of that will become clear with time. I would imagine that there can be indeed something which we will learn from that, which will change our life in some way.
That was Philip Bryant and Albert DeRocq with the European Organization for Nuclear Research.
This has been an Earth and Sky presentation.
We're at earthsky.org.